Okay, so we're going to have to move quickly on this, but Huriot is the shortest Masechta in Shas in terms of Dapim, probably not in terms of words, it's quite dense. The primary topic of the first Perek is Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, is the following case. In a case in which Sanhedrin rules on something incorrectly, and the majority of Klal Yisrael follow their Psak, so then there's a special carbon that is brought by the Sanhedrin on behalf of Klal Yisrael, called a Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur, a cow which is brought for something being hidden from the community. Parenthetically, the Ramban, I'm going to try to throw in some lum just as we go along, as much as we can. The Ramban on those psukim by Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur argues that, thank you, Isaac. The Ramban argues that there is another category which is equivalent. See, the psukim, when they talk about Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur, they talk about a tzibur, right? Klal Yisrael making a mistake. So the Ramban argues that there is another category that emerges from this of a kihilah, of an entire congregation that has gone off the derech, which that Ramban has been invoked by certain modern poskim as an alternative to the category of Tinok Shenishba to explain the status of non-Shomer Shabbos Jews. The category of Tinok Shenishba for non-religious Jews was first suggested by Rav Yaakov Edlinger in Tshuvat Binyan Tzion HaChadasha, Tshuva Chaf Gimel, based on the Rambam in his description of the children of the Karaites. But alternative models have been based on this Ramban. But the classic one, as I mentioned, in Halacha, is a case where it's based on the Beis Din making a mistake. And one of the things that we'll see throughout the Masechta is that there seems to be a fundamental chakira, a fundamental machloket. Really, one can see this already in the Mishnah, but it continues through the Mefarshim, in terms of the two ways that we understand this karban. One way of understanding the karban is that fundamentally the karban is being brought for the tzibur, meaning the Klal Yisrael sinned, and since they sinned, so if an individual would sin on a avera, which b'mezid has chiyuv miso or chiyuv kares, so then b'shogeg they'd bring a karban chatas, and if a tzibur in this particular configuration sins, so then Hashem makes a leniency and makes it that they can bring one representative karban, but Beis Din brings it on behalf of the tzibur. This is essentially a karban chatat for the sin that they committed, and Beis Din merely represents them. The other possibility is that Beis Din fundamentally brings it for themselves because they sinned by paskining in such a way that it led to people making a halachic error. As we'll see in the Mishnah, there does seem to be a third possibility, which is that it's both, because we'll see later on in the Masechta that there is a position that every time there's a sin like this, you bring 13 karbanot. One for the Beis Din and one for each Shevet, which seems to present a third conceptual model, which is that Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur is both being Mechaper on Beis Din, and they're bringing it for themselves, but it's also on behalf of Klal Yisrael as essentially an expansion of the Karban Chata. So those are the conceptual models to keep in mind as we go through. And as we see, because this particular category depends on Beis Din paskening incorrectly, a lot of the fundamental conceptual issues in the Masechet are about defining the nature of Psak. What is a Hora'ah? Because as we'll see, if something doesn't count as a Hora'ah, it doesn't count as a Psak, it counts as such an egregious mistake that it doesn't even count as a mistaken Psak, it's a non-Psak, so then the rules of Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur cannot be invoked, and people have to bring individual Karbanot. So with that in mind, let us look at the first Mishnah. So the Mishnah on Beis Din Aleph tells you, Horu Beidin La'avor Al-Achad Mikol Mitzvot Hamurot Batorah. If the court, meaning the high court, that's Sanhedrin Agadol Yoshev Yerushalayim, and as the Rav notes, and Rav Luchansi notes this in his introductory pieces in Huriot, I'm doing this all from memory, so you'll have to forgive me, otherwise we're not going to get through this in 20 minutes. But he argues that the Sanhedrin HaGadol, one of their roles is that they are miyatzeg Klal Yisrael, they represent Klal Yisrael. The second is obviously the roles in Psak, and here it's not really clear which one they're functioning as, right? Obviously, their psak is what leads to this, but their ability to bring the karban might depend on this representative nature of the Beit Din. But if they rule, and an individual follows their psak, va'asa shogeg al piyam, and he makes a mistake, right? An accidental sin because of them, bein sha'asu va'asa imahen, bein sha'asu va'asa achrehen, whether the Beis Din themselves followed their psak and he did it with them, or they did it sequentially, bein shelo asu v'asa, or the Beis Din themselves didn't act on the psak, they merely paskined, and he did, patur. He doesn't have to bring an individual korban, b'bnei shetala b'beit din, because he depended on Beit Din. And as we will see, the question of whether what makes him patur is the fact that he relied on Beis Din and they're bringing a karban on his behalf. Meaning, fundamentally, he really is liable, but they bring a karban on his behalf. Or, it's the mere fact that he followed Beit Din, and that itself is an exemption, right? That is going to be machloket in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Haru Beis Din v'yada echaman shato. But what happens if Beis Din paskin and a member of the court knew that the psak was a mistake? So now he's no longer making a mistake, it's intentional. And now, v'halach v'asal p'yen, he acted in accordance with their position. Whether he acted with them sequentially or he acted independently of them, he has to bring his own karban, because you can't conceptualize him as having relied on Beit Din because he knew they were making a mistake. And this is the rule. If one is relying on his own authority, so then chayav, he's obligated, he's liable for a personal korban. But one who relies on the court, patur, so he is going to be exempt. So now, as I said, one of the key issues that we'll see in the Masechta over and over is the definition of psak, because this whole category only works if there was a hora'ah. If there was a psak that is halachically recognized, that led to the mistaken actions of the nation. So there are other areas in halacha where it's important that a formal psak was issued. One is Zaken Mamre, where a rebellious elder paskins against the authority of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, he becomes chayav mita if he issued a psak. But we need to know what counts as a psak. Just like by Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur, we need to know what a psak is. So we need to know that by Zaken Mamre. And the second category that the Gemara is going to bring up is a case in which a Beit Din rules that a woman is allowed to remarry on the assumption that her husband has died. And in certain cases, if she can be defined as having been relied on their psak, even if it was mistaken, there are certain leniencies that are associated with that. So the Gemara is going to bring all three of these conversations, of these psakim, into conversation. So Amar Shmuel, La'olam ein beidin chayavin ad sheyomru lehem mutarim atem. You're not liable until they say, you can do. Rivdimi minarda amar ad sheyomru lehem mutarim atem la'asot. They can't just say it's mutter, they have to be even more explicit. It's mutter for you to do it. My taima, lefisha lo nigmera hora'ah. Because until they say, go do it, the psak hasn't been finished. And this is something that people sometimes get wrong. There's two things in halacha. Halacha, in the language of the Gemara, does not mean what we think halacha means. Halacha means theoretical law. Lima'aseh means practical law. Halacha lema'aseh therefore means the application of theory to reality. So what they're saying is it's not enough for him to say in theory this is the halacha. It needs to be translated as a formal psak, which means that he says, not only am I saying that in theory this is the law, I'm telling you, you can rely on it in practice, and therefore the theory is now applied to the practical reality in front of you. At that point, it counts as a psak. Amar Abaye, and Abaye said, we see the exact same conceptual model, by Zaken Mamre, af ananami tanina chazar leiro. If the Zaken Mamre went back to his city, so shana vili made kiderech shili made. If he said, look, in theory, in lamdus, I think this is the psak patur. He can, his lamdus doesn't have to be the same as the Sanhedrin's. But hore la sot, if he ruled practically chayav, so then by paskening against Sanhedrin, he's liable. Amar Abaye, Amar Abba, Afan Nami Tanina. Case three, which follows this conceptual model, is Haru La Beitin Lihinase. If a court rules that a woman can remarry on the assumption that her husband died, V'halcha V'kilkila, and she went and she had sexual relations outside of the context of marriage, Chayevet B'Karban. She is liable to bring a karban. Why? Shelo etiru la elinase, even though, conceptually speaking, by saying she can remarry, they're paskening that the husband is dead, it doesn't matter. Since what we need is a formal psak, it must be that she does exactly what they said. Not that it relies on the same lumdus, but it relies on the actual words they said. And they said, you can marry. It doesn't matter that the implications of that are that they're assuming that her husband is dead. That's not what they told her. And therefore, if it turns out the husband is alive, she is liable for the mistake of having slept around. Amar Avina, Avananami Tanina, Horu Betin Labar Alacha Mikal Mitzvah Nabar Torah, to Lo Midi. And then he brings it to our case, which is the Parhelam Daver Shel Tzibor, where the same thing is true. And now there's another version of this, Ikid Amre. Some have the following version. Amr Shmuel and Beidin Chayevin Achi Amru Lehem Mutarim Atem La'asot. Rivdimi Minar Da Amr Afilu Mutarim Atem. Nigmar Aharad. They just reverse it. And Amr Abaye V'ahal Lot Nanachi. And now they read this not as the same, but as a challenge. How can you say that? Chazur li'iro, by the context of Zaken Mamre, we say that if he goes back, Vishana li'med kederech shalimed patur, hore la'asot chayav. So doesn't that show that you need that word, la'asot? Amar Rabbi Abba v'alot nanach, yehore la'beitin v'lehinasei, v'holcha v'kilkola chayevet b'karban, shalom atiru la'elihinasei, Amar Avina v'alot nanach, yehore beitin la'vor alacha mikol ha'mitzvot, Amar Avedara tulo midei. And therefore, the Gemara's conclusion in both cases is that psak is defined by those magic words. If they say mutarim atem, la asot. The moment they instantiate their theory in practice, it is defined as a psak. And the Gemara says there are three implications for that. Parhel Ndavar Shel Tzibor, which requires the psak of Beidin. Zaken Mamre, which requires the elder to challenge them in a formal psak. And the leniency that the woman is not liable for a karban if she remarries following the strict instructions of Beis Din on the assumption that she's allowed to assume that her husband has died. Then the Gemara continues. I will point out, hold the thought. Fine. So v'nidnei v'asa al piyem. Why don't we just say he acted on their authority? Shogeg lamali. Why are you repeating the word shogeg? Amarava shogeg atuye horu beitin shechelev mutar v'netchalev lo chelev bishuman v'achlo patur al piyem mamash. It comes to include the following strange case, where if Beis Din mistakenly ruled that forbidden fats were permitted, and then the fat got switched for kosher fat, meaning he thought he was eating kosher fat, but instead he got the chalev, but the chalev itself, at that moment, Beis Din had said it was permitted. So if he eats it, he is patur. So Rashi says, "Kigon shahoru beidin shechelev mutar v'halav asal piem lashmin the shogel piem mutar." V'ikadamri, others say amarava shogeg al piem udipatur. The second day is no, it doesn't work. The opposite. It's only if he's doing exactly what they said. Avol nitchalev lo chelev b'shuman v'achlo chayav. But if in such a case, the kosher fat got switched with non-kosher fat, so now his mistake includes elements that are not dependent on the court, and therefore he's not going to be exempt by the psak of Beidin. Milta de Pshita Leila Rava. Now, while this was obvious to Rava, Kamibay Leila Rami Bar Chama, it was unclear to Rami Bar Chama, to buy Rami Bar Chama, because Rami Bar Chama had the following Safek, Horu Beidin Shechelev Mutar Venetchalif Lo Beshuman. If Bezdin had said fat is mutar, no, forbidden fat is mutar, but he thought he was eating kosher fat, and then he got switched, there's a double switch. Mahu, what is the halacha? So you see that he was unsure of whether that's called relying on Betin or not. Amarava, Tashma, let me try to prove it to you from the following. Halach yachid, v'asa shogig al pihem, etc. Shogig al pihem lamali. Why do you need the extra redundant language? Lav latu yehore beidin shechelev mutar v'net chalif lo chelev v'shuman v'achlo patur. And it says no. Dilma shogig al piyem hu de patur avon net chalif lo chelev v'shuman v'achlo chayav. Isn't maybe what it's coming to teach you is that that the only time you can exempt yourself with the psak of Beit Din is if there's only one mistake here, namely the mistake of the psak, but if there are two mistakes here, one of which is independent of the mistake of Beit Din, then you are independently liable. Ikad Amri, a different version of this, Amarava, Tashma halach yachid v'asa shogig al pihem, Mailav shogig al pihem hu depatur v'an chalif lo chelev v'shuman v'achlo chayav. Doesn't that imply that you're liable? It's only if you follow Beit Din and there's no other mistake that you can exempt yourself with the psak of Beit Din. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma O Shogeg O LPM. Maybe there are two separate categories. One in which you only make a mistake because of the psak. And two, maybe you even can be exempt if you made a double order mistake, both relying on the psak of Beit Din and switching kosher for not kosher fat. Biplukta horu beitin, the oshig al pm biplukta. Horu beitin shechelev mutar v'nitchalif lo chelev b'shuman. V'achlo, so now we have it again. This is a machlokes. Rav amar patur, Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav. Meitve, me amar etz basota, prat lamumar. The Gemara says, but wait a second. This exemption only applies to someone who normally follows Beit Din. But if someone is a mumar, he's a rebel against the entirety of the halachic system, so just because in a particular case his violation of the Torah happens to overlap with the psak of Beit Din, he doesn't get the exemption because Bigavra, he's not considered someone who relies on Beis Din because he doesn't care about halacha. And therefore he can't avail himself of the excuse, I was listening to Beit Din. Reb Shimon, Ben Yosi Omer Bishum Rabbi Shimon, Hare Hu Omer Asher Lote Asera Bishkaga V'Hashem O Hoda. What's the source? It says that he made a mistake, O Hoda, and it became known to him that he was sinning. So the Gemara says, what does that teach you? Hashav mi diato mevi karban al shigigato. Lo shav mi diato eno mevi karban al shigigato. If you're the type of person who, if you had known that it was a mistake and it was usur, you wouldn't have done it, so then you're exempt if you follow the mistake. But if you're the type of person who, even if you knew it was usur, you would do it anyway, so you can't plausibly say that you're relying on the authority of Beit Din. So in that case, the fact that you happened to make a mistake that overlapped with the mistaken psak of Beit Din doesn't help you. The imita haloshav mi diatohu. So he says, but wait a second. In the case where it switched, so he also wouldn't turn back on eating the meat because in addition to the psak of the Beit Din that this fat was kosher, he also thought it was other fat which really was kosher. So he's not shav mi diato. Doesn't the double mistake make it that his mistake doesn't depend on Beis Din? Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said no. Ksav Rav Yochanan kevne dechem mityadu lebei din ahadribu vuhunami hadar bei shav miyadiyato karinan bei. He says no. Since if you were to find out that Beis Din retracted their position, he would change his mind because that's the type of person he is. Even though there's another level of mistake, since the fact that he would find out that there was a mistake would be enough for him to not do it, that's enough. Amar Rava, But Rav agrees to the following one thing. Even if it's true that this person with a double mistake, both the switch of the psak and the switch of the fats, even if it's true that he doesn't have to bring a karban, when we're trying to calculate whether 50% of Klal Yisrael has violated the sin on the basis of Beit Din, he doesn't count towards the 50% because the double mistake makes him part of a new type of category. And therefore, Modi Rav Sheino Mashlim L'Rov Tzibur, he doesn't reach, he can't add to the 50%. My Taima, why? Amar Kra, Bishkaga, because it says in a mistake, Achi Yu Kulan Bishkaga Achat. All of their mistakes need to be uniform in order for them to be chayav in the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur. Okay, I said 20 minutes, so we're 20 minutes and 40 seconds, and we got basically the bottom of the Amud, and that was with 5 minutes of introductory lamdas. Ephraim, it's Chazara for you. Good to have you. Ephraim and I learned this together last year. Okay, so we'll try for 7:30 on Zoom, and I'm going to try to do, not today because I wanted to do some introductory points, but try to get through, let's say, an Amud and a few lines each day, which should bring us with just enough to finish before Pesach. If people want over Pesach, we could try to do, Bikurim, you know, either over Chol HaMoed or afterwards. If we're still in quarantine, then I don't know what we're going to be doing. But we'll start for now. Okay, guys. Shkoyach. And we'll talk to you guys later, okay?
Thank you.